Assemblyman Steve Hawley joining us. Assemblyman, welcome back to Hardline.
Well, thanks so much. Great to be here, my friend. What a beautiful day.
It is a beautiful day. It's a great day for baseball and a great day to talk politics. And let's start with probably the least surprising, the budget still being held up in Albany. Assemblyman, to your knowledge, what you're seeing, how is it that the party of the governor is holding up this budget?
Well, it's been happening for quite some time now. Unfortunately, for the many businesses and individuals, and especially school districts who really are trying to get their budgets ready to present to the electorate, the school boards, getting those out to folks to vote on the school budgets. But without a state budget, the school districts are unable to really have any firm handle on what kind of revenues the state will be providing. So it's very, very difficult for them. Businesses, if they ran like this, obviously would not be in business very long. It's now almost 3 weeks late. April 1st, April Fool's Day, ironically, is the day that the state budget is due. And here we are on Palm Sunday, going back on Tuesday, probably, to pass another extender so we can pay our bills.
Now, so the extender will be passed on Tuesday. Obviously, the majority party, the governor, they're all the same. Assemblyman, from the Republican side of the aisle, is there anything in this budget that the governor's fighting for that you agree with?
Well, there are a number of items. Apparently, they have come to an agreement on the funding, the finances for the state of New York, increasing it to somewhere well over $250 billion. That doesn't seem to be a sticking point for them. The things the governor is talking about are what's holding it up, and those are philosophical and procedural things that ought to really be not holding up the budget. They ought to be able to stand on their own. One of them is the discovery issue, how much and when information has to be disseminated to the defendants in a trial, the attorneys. Another is the masking issue, where if someone has a mask on and they're creating havoc in society, she wants those masks not to be able to be worn. And those are the two biggest points that, as far as I know.
The masking, I mean, that's kind of revisiting something that was already in effect before COVID, correct? And again, it's this want to kind of bring crime down, which is new for that side of the aisle.
Well, it's nonsensical that we allow people to cover their faces while they commit crimes or while they're demonstrating. You know, we used to have a society that had repercussions for those who behaved badly, whether they're minor offenses or, God forbid, major offenses against society. We've had really a push by members of the majority in both houses, the Senate and the Assembly, to be more pro-criminal as opposed to more pro-victim.
You know, you mentioned a lot of policy holding this budget up, and the numbers, they kind of, the majority party and the governor have an agreement on. I mean, you look into those numbers, I mean, we are spending more than some states combined, and those are states that people are actually flocking to, not leaving. Is there anything in the budget that you have seen that really could be, maybe could use the DOGE from Washington up here in Albany?
Well, ironically, there is a bill that I'm a co-sponsor on that would form a bipartisan, nonpartisan, if you will, committee to review the inefficiencies of state departments in New York. I think that, you know, we do this in business all the time. We do this, schools do it. Anyone who has an organization that depends on a bottom line wants to be sure that the operation is being operated efficiently, both fiscally as well as delivery of programs. So We do have a bill. It'll probably never see the light of day as a member of the minority, but we fight the good fight. We try to impose things that make common sense, which is oftentimes lacking in Albany, to try to get the state back on track. You know, $252 billion, a large chunk of it, as you mentioned, is, without mentioning the name, is Medicaid. We have many, many of the optional, and I stress the word optional, programs that the federal government offers to states. There are certain programs we must participate in, but then we have the choice of other programs that really have pushed this budget and the expenses well beyond our means. Larger, the Medicaid program in New York State is larger than Florida and Texas combined. And each of those states has more population individually than New York State does. So that's an area that we really ought to be looking at, but it usually falls by the wayside. We want to make sure that people with their hands out are able to receive everything they need. And sometimes we just can't do that. We need to be compassionate. We need to be sure that people are being taken care of. However, we can't be all things to all people.
Yeah, I mean, so many people are leaving that we air commercials about people, hey, moving to Florida, we can help. Carl Hastie, the Speaker of the Assembly, is proposing legislation that would mean lawmakers still get paid throughout the budget holdup. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, ironically, I have a bill that I've had for many years that would prohibit the governor from being paid during the budget process after April 1st. So if we don't have an actual budget on time, it seems to me that the three folks in the room who figure the final budget for the legislature to vote on, those three people are the Speaker of the State Assembly, the Majority Leader Pro Tem of the Senate, and the governor. All three of them are in that room, and they are the ones that agree to present a budget to the legislature. Right now, the legislators don't get paid, but the governor does. I've had a bill, as I mentioned, A2335, for years. I have many, many co-sponsors of it, but it never seems to see the light of day. And this has nothing to do with Governor Hochul. It has to do with the actual office of governor. They ought to be as responsible, and they also ought to be sharing in the pain, if you will, that might push them, the governor and the two leaders in the Assembly and Senate, to pass an on-time budget, setting the good example for those of us that operate businesses in the state of New York.
Yeah, I mean, shouldn't it be where the budget is just the budget and the policy stuff can be worked out in another time, not, you know, kind of running parallel with each other? I mean, has that always been the case, or is this kind of a new thing for the last decade or so?
Well, I've been in the Assembly for a while now. And by the way, we look at the service to our constituents, at least I do, and many, many others, as an avocation, not an occupation. So these policy matters have been pushed into the budget, as you mentioned, probably over the last decade, maybe a little longer. I believe the first governor to do it was former Governor Cuomo. And that really, I mean, what business puts policy into their decision-making process regarding fiscal matters? A budget has to do with fiscal matters, not the priorities of the state of New York in a philosophical way, procedures, if you will. So as far as I'm concerned, that shouldn't be holding up a financial picture from passing.
All right. So Tuesday is when the extender will be voted on. How long will that extend this temporarily so things continue to get funded?
Well, this would be our actual fifth extender since the 1st of April. The first one got us through April 3rd. The second one got us through April 7th. The third got us through April 9th. And then we just had one that gets us through till this coming Tuesday. I'm thinking And I'm not part of the decision-making process, but I'm thinking it'll get us through probably Thursday, and then we'll more than likely, unless a miracle of all miracles happens, have another extender from then until after Easter. And by the way, all of this is going on while we were not scheduled to be in Albany from just before Palm Sunday today through the end of April. And each day that the legislature is in Albany, all 213, there are 150 members in the Assembly, 63 in the Senate. You don't get a per diem if you live within 50 miles of the Capitol. So let's say there are 200 legislators, and they each get approximately $200 a day for lodging and meals and transportation. Multiply very quickly, 200 members times $200. It's costing taxpayers $40,000 a day for having us in Albany. And that's not the way we ought to be operating this government. We ought to be doing it efficiently, smoothly. We've had 3 months, now 3.5 months, to get our act together. It's time to have the final chapter, the final say on this, and put the budget to bed.
Assemblyman, if you don't mind, I have two questions not related to the budget I'd like to ask you before we end here, if that's okay.
Yeah.
First one is about a colleague of yours in the Assembly on the other side of the aisle, Pat Burke, Democrat from the South Buffalo area. He is calling on the state to not extend Tesla's lease because he says that Elon Musk cannot be separated, or the company cannot be separated from Elon Musk. Now, again, this is in an area where, you know, the unemployment rate a little higher than the national average right now. What are your thoughts on, I know it's not in your district, but it's state related. What's your thoughts on Pat Burke's comments?
Well, first of all, I do know where the Tesla plant is in Buffalo. I partake often through the summer and fall in something called the Buffalo Slow Roll, where all kinds of folks get together on their bicycles, and we ride through many, many wonderful, beautiful areas in downtown Buffalo. So we've been past that Tesla plant. I think that Mr. Burke is certainly entitled to his opinion. I try to be as supportive of businesses as we possibly can, especially, as you mentioned, with the unemployment rate where it is today. 5 years after the pandemic, we are in a position that we have not been able to claw back, if you will, to employment levels where they should be. We see wherever we go, pretty much, whether it's small towns, whether it's villages or small cities or large cities, businesses that have signs outside, we are hiring. I mean, I travel up and down the thruway to Albany all the time, and on almost every single tractor trailer, there's a sign on the back, as you may be passing it, that says, we're hiring. So to become involved in philosophical differences, as you've indicated, Mr. Burke is, I think, is stepping over the line. We need to be supporting as many of the businesses that we can, and thereby helping people to become employed to support their families and their loved ones.
Speaking of the pandemic, this from the Times Union in Albany, an audit from the comptroller's office found that more than $450 million of unused medical equipment that was purchased during the equipment still sitting unused in the state's possession. Your thoughts on that?
Well, we've already talked about DOGE, and we've talked about the inefficiencies of government oftentimes. This is an example of tremendous mismanagement by whomever was in charge of that medical equipment. If it's still within the period of being able to be used, we need to get that out to areas in the state that are looking for it. We probably ought to get some communication out right away to see who needs it and get it to work. That's another example of the horrible inefficiencies that government sometimes produces. Just mind-boggling.
Assemblyman Steve Hawley, always great catching up with you. And when that budget is passed, or maybe before, we will talk again.
Sounds great. Have a wonderful rest of the week and happy Easter.